turning back to that passage that we read just a few moments ago, Luke chapter 2. We're drawing your attention particularly to the words of verse 20. We've entitled the message, "The First Public Visitors to the Messiah." And just let's unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer just before we come to the preaching of God's Word. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for Thy presence already in our midst. We thank the Lord for the boys and girls who have sang that message of a way in a manger. And oh God, we pray that Thou would bless them this morning. We thank the Lord for the little ones. And oh God, we pray as Thou art interested in the children. And Lord, we recognize that a little child can even be the means of speaking to an adult. And we pray, Lord, that I might bless this morning, even as we come to this word. Lord, we confess it might be a familiar passage. But, O God, we would earnestly pray that Thou might prepare these hearts of ours, that we might, Lord, glean the lessons found therein. To that end, I pray for the infilling of Thy Spirit. Give me words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. We pray that through all, that Christ might have the preeminence. For it's in His name we ask and pray these things. While we come to the nativity scene, it may be considered to be one of those passages that is the best known. But it also may be thought upon as one passage wherein most inaccuracies are heard. The church in centuries past has set a date in which they mark the Savior's birth. And subsequent times have found that church ignoring the message and socializing the message by adding their own ideas to it. And so what is commonly believed among many people today is that the wise men are found at the birth of the Savior. That they entered the manger with their gifts, and they proceeded to worship the Christ child. And many believe that there were three wise men simply because there were three different types of gifts brought. And while it all sounds good, that these men from afar and guided by a star were to be found in that lowly stable, yet it is not accurate as far as the Scriptures are concerned. What we must not be guilty of is taking away or adding to the Word of God. The words of Matthew 2 will make it abundantly clear and obvious that the wise men, by the way, were never told that there was only three of them. In all reckonability, in all accounts of the whole thing, there probably was more than that. There may be even double figures where the wise men were concerned. But in that chapter, you will find that it's obvious that the wise men were never found in the manger. Because we read in verse 11 of chapter 2 of Matthew that he came into the house. That's not the manger, that's not the stable. The next verse speaks of the young child, not the babe, and of the message to Joseph that he would take the young child and their mother and flee into Egypt. When we do come to Luke's account of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are brought to the manger. For those are the words that are used in verse 16. And notice it is the word babe that is used. For here it is the time immediately after the birth of the Savior into the world. When royalty is born, there are the great announcements. But here was the King of Kings, God made flesh. And the announcement of it was not made in a palace. The announcement of it was not made to the high and lofty of that day, but to some men who were engaged in doing their work, even the humble shepherds. These we are introduced to were indeed the first visitors to see the promised Messiah that should come. I want you to consider firstly this morning the revelation. What was to be just another ordinary night for these men was to turn out to be a night never to be forgotten. For they were to receive a heavenly revelation from an angelic being. And while the angel was to come and go again at the behest of their Creator God, yet for us we have the complete abiding revelation of God's precious Word, and so we have the abiding of the Holy Spirit who will never be gone. What was to be revealed unto the shepherds? It was a revelation of the Savior in the words of verse 11. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Note carefully there the wording. Unto you is born this day. The specific day or month in which this birth was to take place is not mentioned, and neither is it to be found in all the Scriptures. Just as the specific day of the Savior's birth is not given, men and women, neither are we told the day of His return. Matthew 24 and verse 36 says, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The day of His birth is not given, the day of His return is not given. But you must be ready. I quote to you some words about the Savior's birth from C.H. Spurgeon, that great Baptist preacher of a bygone day in London. He said this: Superstition has fixed most positively the day of our Savior's birth, although there is no possibility of discovering when it occurred. We venture to assert that if there be any day in the year of which we may be pretty sure it was not the day in which the Savior was born, it is the 25th of December. End of quote. Of course, that didn't mean that he didn't preach upon the incarnation of the Savior. Neither does it mean that the Reformed preacher doesn't preach upon it today. Of course we do. The good tidings that were revealed unto them, unto the shepherds, was of a special birth that day. It was a revelation of the very place wherein the Savior was to be born. It was to be in the city of David. And that again was a fulfillment of what the Old Testament Scriptures had prophesied. And the town of Bethlehem, which means house of bread, was to be where He who is the bread of life for perishing and for hungry souls was to be born. For understand, it is the person which gives honor. It's the person that gives privilege to the place, not the place itself. And the revelation was of the Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And dear people, this morning, that is the person who is to be found in every page of the Scriptures. From Genesis to Revelation, they speak of Christ. He is still the one whom we desire to reveal. For there is only one Christ. There's only one anointed of the Father. There's only one Savior to a lost and to a dying world. One Lord who is above all and over all. One message of true gospel joy. The revelation, you will see, was also accompanied by a sign. How would the shepherds know one babe from another in the city of Bethlehem? There would be no confusion. Where there was a distinction with the Lord in His life, and there was a distinction with the Lord in His death, and there was also to be that which set Him apart in His birth as well. The sign that was revealed unto the shepherds is seen in the words of verse 12, And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. How unusual that the child will be lying in a manger. We know, of course, the reason, because there was no room found for Him in the inn. Even before the incarnation of the Savior into this world, there was the rejection of Him. They wouldn't find Him in a palace. They wouldn't find Him in some great house. His humiliation was seen at the outset that He was found lying in a manger. The sign would be that the child would be wrapped in swaddling clothes, and those strips of cloth were commonly used for preparing a corpse for burial. And there is the thought that this child had come to this earth for a unique purpose, and that was to die. For at His very birth, there was a sign that this was no ordinary child. For at His birth, there was a message regarding His death. And old Simeon was one who knew it as well. You listen to the words that he spake when he was brought into the temple at 8 days old, in chapter 2, the same chapter, verse 34. And Simeon blessed him and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through his own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." And it does but enforce the thought to us that you cannot separate Bethlehem from Golgotha. You can't separate the manger from the cross. The two go together. You take away one from the other, and the real message of Christmas will be forgotten. That, Julie, is what has happened in the world at large. Well, there's a nice social message today. Cross is left out. This revelation was seen by the shepherds, for having received the message, we read in verse 15, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." Their resolve was to go immediately to see the thing that had come to pass. And they went in faith, not doubting a word that the angel had spoken. Verse 16 it says, they came with haste. They were to see the Christ child. They were the first to see the promised Messiah with believing eyes. And oh, men and women, young people, I wonder, have you got there yet? There are many who will breathe the lovely name of Christ as they sing the Christmas carols today. There are those who could tell you word for word the account of His incarnation. But I ask you this morning, have you looked by faith unto Christ? Have you seen the one who is the darling of the Father's bosom, and the one who is precious unto them who believe? Without the look of faith, and there will be no beauty in Him that you should desire Him. May God be pleased to anoint your eyes with eye salve this Christmas day, that you would see Christ as you have never seen Him before. The revelation. Then you'll see the report. Because the shepherds, having received that divine revelation, were not to be disappointed in what they found. And neither will you, sinner. Christ finds you this morning, you'll not be disappointed. It may have been that there was a certain risk in leaving the sheep behind, but doesn't it remind us that they who leave all their cares with the Lord will be rewarded? And what we are brought to consider is the report that they were unable to give of what they had seen. There is the scope of this report in verse 17, and when they had seen it, that is what they had been told, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. It wasn't a case of just telling a few people of this special birth. But the implication of those words is that they spread the report abroad. They were to speak to as many as possible of all that they had seen, of all that they had witnessed that day. It does remind me of 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 9. It is that passage which speaks of the Syrians being in the camp, and suddenly they were to leave the camp, and there was the lepers, and the lepers were to go into the camp to find it vacated. And they found a few things, and they found the food and the famine. Of course, the people in the city had nothing, and they were to stash some of it away. And you know, they come to themselves. In verse 9 we read this, "Then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry till the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household." And they went back and told all in the city of what had taken place. It was a day of good tidings. It was a report of abundance of good things. And so it was for these shepherds, that they could not hold their peace. They had to tell others. And so, dear loved one, ought the desire of God's people to be to tell of all that the Lord has done for us. There were those whom the Lord healed during His earthly ministry. They like the deaf and the dumb man, and while He was exhorted to tell no man, yet we read that the more He charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. They couldn't keep quiet of what the Lord had done. When he came into Capernaum, it was noise that the Lord was in the house. Not a more encouraging report could be given of our Sabbath meetings, that the Lord is in the house. You're talking to someone after the Sabbath day. Are you able to say to them, the Lord was there? What sort of report does your lips speak? What sort of report does your life tell? You'll see the subject of the report, verse 17. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They came into that stable, they came into the manger where Mary and Joseph were to be found. But the subject of their report wasn't of them. The closing words of verse 17 reveal to us that the report was of the child. They were taken up with the Christ. And being satisfied in all that they saw was truth, they accordingly became the first creatures who had seen the Lord with their eyes. The message was Christ-centered. The Lord Jesus Christ had the preeminence. They told the whole story concerning the child, of what the angels had revealed to them. This was the Christ, the long-awaited Savior who came to dwell amongst men, the one in whom alone peace is to be found. Could it be that they went forth to tell of what Mary had spoken to them concerning the notice that she had from an angel of the conception of him, the manner of it, what he should be? And what about Joseph? And what he may have told them as well concerning the child, how an angel had appeared to him, had acquainted him about the conception of the child, and to fear not to take Mary unto him as his wife, for she was conceived of the Holy Ghost, of the message that he was bidden by the angel to call his name Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. Their report was of Christ. God had in his sovereign plan permitted them to be directed by the angels to see the Christ child. And now what they had seen and what God had imparted unto them, they could not but tell others. They had the same spirit about them as that man out of which the Lord had cast the many devils. Luke chapter 8 verse 39 says this, the message of the Lord to him, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way, published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. I wonder what is the subject of our conversation, not only today, but every other day. So often we must confess those opportunities that the Lord has given have been wasted. Haven't taken them to speak of the Lord. Their report was to cause surprise, verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. Wondered at those things that they had heard. They were surprised that the Messiah was to be found born in a lowly stable. They marveled that he was born of such lowly parentage and in such humbling circumstances. They wondered at those things. All those words sum up the impression that the report made upon the people who heard about the message of the Savior's birth. They wondered at those things. One has to wonder, is that all they did? Man can wonder at hearing the message of Christ. Man can wonder at hearing the message of God's wonderful salvation and yet do nothing about it. And the silence of Scripture would indicate that this is all that this people did. They wondered, but they never inquired after the Savior. They willfully closed their eyes to the things that belonged unto their peace. God manifest in the flesh, therein is a great mystery. It's a wonder that God ever should send His Son to be born in a lowly manger. It's a wonder that he should send his son for the purpose of purchasing a full and free salvation for the sinful sons of Adam's race. That's a wonder. But equally a wonder is this Christmas I'm looking into the face and into the eyes of those you've heard the message of the gospel many Christmases, many years. You've heard these things, but you've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's a wonder. Report. Let me show you the return of the shepherds. Shepherds didn't stay in that manger. They had to return again. And you see, it says, the words of verse 20, and the shepherds returned. Their return was to their work. They had to go back to minding the flock of sheep. They had to return to their labors. They did not make this visit an excuse for neglecting their duties, this great sight that they had seen, but they returned to their work having seen, having heard the glad tidings of Christ the Lord. They had got a vision of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ, which they could carry in their minds the rest of their days. And you know that is what each one of God's people must do. Scriptures do not call God's people to isolate themselves and to live in a monastery the rest of their days. We're not to exist in a lifestyle secluded from all others. If that was so, then the Lord would call us home the moment we were saved. But we're here for a purpose, to put our hand to the work. And of course we know the Lord would have us to return to the work. And we know from His great high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 that He prays for His people. John 17 in the words of verse 15 says, I pray not that Thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that Thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And it could be rendered, the evil one. The Lord prays to His Father in glory. He doesn't pray that He would take us out of the world, but that we would be kept from evil. We are to be like these shepherds with those things concerning Christ ringing in our hearts and ringing in our minds. I want you to notice that their return was with gladness and it was with praise. For the text says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. They returned glorifying God for all that they had seen that day, for all that they had heard that day of the Christ child. They glorified God for ever giving His Son. They glorified God for the child ever been born. They praised God for the wonder of His grace. Dear people, that's what we do this morning again. We glorify the God who in grace and in mercy ever thought upon us. Mere creatures of the dust. We praise Him for giving the Lord Jesus Christ as the only Savior who one day would grow up, one day would live amongst men, the sinless Lamb of God, ultimately one day that would take Him to the cross of Calvary. There He would take the sinner's place in that cross, and there He would shed His own precious blood to purchase an eternal salvation. You see, men and women, boys and girls, the Lord Jesus Christ came down from the heights, and He came down to the depths, that we might be exalted to the heights. That's the reason why He came. That's the reason why He was born. He humbled Himself that we might be exalted one day as kings and priests unto God, and living with God in glory for all eternity. That's why he was born in the manger, because he went to go to the cross of Calvary to finish the work that the Father gave him to do. When he cried, "It is finished," he bowed his head, he gave up the ghost. The third day, he rose again. Listen, no matter about what else is going on today, this is the Lord's day. This is the day we remember that tomb is empty. And we have a living Savior. And we have a risen Savior. And the Savior who returned to the Father's presence and glory after 40 days. A Savior who's returning again to this earth for his people. It is my prayer that you would return home this morning with praise and with thanksgiving on your hearts and the lips for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our prayer that you would glorify God by confessing his name as your Savior. That you would go forth spreading the person who is high over all. And that name that is above every name. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. If you're not saved this morning, come this morning. Come to Christ and be saved. Glorify the Lord, forever sending His Son to be born in a manger, for dying on the cross for no sinner like you. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. May God bless His word to our hearts this morning for His own name's sake. Amen. Just let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer. We'll not sing another hymn today. We'll just close in prayer. Trust the Lord would speak on when the preacher's voice is silent. Child of God, go home rejoicing. God ever gave His Son to be your Savior. Dear unsaved, come this morning. Come and be saved. Close in with God's offer of mercy. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise Thee for Thy mercy and Thy grace. We thank the Lord for the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. And O God, we bless Thee, Lord, for His condescension from glory to the manger. We thank Thee, O God, for that lowly birth. And, O Father, we thank the Lord that He came that He might go one day to the cross. He might purchase a full and free salvation. He might exalt a people unto the glory and the heights of heaven. Father, we thank the Lord for those that are saved. And we praise Thee, Lord. We delight ourselves in Christ this morning. Just as the shepherds went forth, spreading abroad all that they had seen and heard. Oh God, help us, Lord, to do likewise. Help us, oh God, to exalt the person and the work of the Savior. We pray, Lord, for those that are yet not saved. Lord, Thou hast spurred them to see another Christmas day. For years they have heard the message. Lord, yet they're not saved. Oh God, O Lord, reveal Thyself to them today. Lift the scales from off their eyes, that, Lord, a soul might look beyond the tinsel and the lights and all the trappings of today and the days that are before us. And they would see, Lord, that in there is emptiness, but in Christ is fullness. Fullness of joy. And a full salvation. Give the siding grace for a soul to close in with Thine offer of mercy. Part us with Thy blessing. Give journey of mercies home. beyond us all that we would need this Sabbath. For we pray these things in our Savior's name.